Welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast. This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Enterprise Architect at SubscriptionMaker.net. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast so that you won't miss any new episodes. Today, we are talking with Norm Hull. Norm is the owner of Norm Hull & Associates, which focuses on leadership training and development. One of the things that sets Norm apart from most other professional speakers is the fact that he hosts his own in-person events rather than relying on others to hire him. The reason that we are talking with Norm is because professional speaking is a gateway to subscription services. Public speaking of any kind can provide you with a mechanism for doing outreach and building your community, while professional speaking can give you the capital you need to fund the development of your subscription service. Norm, welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Did I get that right? Could you tell us a little more about your company?
Sure, you did. You got it right. Norm Hull & Associates is a leadership training development company. And what we do is we work with companies, associations, and educational systems and institutions to help enhance the leadership skills of their members, their staff, and the people who are in charge of different departments.
How long have you been a professional speaker?
Well, it's 39 years. I started when I was 21. So it's been a long time, but I started very young. I didn't know better.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot. Have you ever had to pivot your career or company?
I have seen a lot, and the answer would be yes. I mean, because I've been around so long, I experienced the recession in 2008, the tragedy of 9/11. And, you know, for those of you who have really been around, there was another recession in the 90s. So I've seen it all. And what I've learned in that time is to adapt to what the market's doing and what it wants and what it doesn't want. So I've seen a lot. And so I have a lot of experiences to draw from, especially now during this recent hiccup in our economy and business world.
What did that process look like?
First thing was acknowledging what was going on. I mean, I think that's the first place you have to start, is to say what really is going on versus what you see in the media or hear from other people. Most people react to information that isn't correct. And so the first thing I always did after each one of those hiccups is to look and see what's going on in the market, what will work, what won't work, what skills do I have that will really serve me well, because I think a lot of people, presenters, speakers, make the mistake of thinking the skills they have today are going to be the skills that are going to work in every situation. And so over the years, every time there was a hiccup or an event in our industry, it's like, what skill do I need to learn so that it'll better prepare me for the next coming hiccup? Because there is going to be another one. There's just,
absolutely,
that's what happens. So what I've learned is to adapt and to always keep my skills in a place where I can use them and just keep adding. So that's what I've done each time.
What do you think life will be like in the speaking profession post-coronavirus?
I think it's going to be a challenge for those not well prepared. And what I mean by that is a lot of people have entered the profession in the last couple of years, but they've entered with the ability or with the belief that you just have to have a good speech. And they haven't realized that the business aspect of the speaking industry is what determines how long you get to stay around. So I think those who haven't set up a good foundation for their business are not going to stay. They're going to find it too challenging. The effort to get a gig, especially after this event, is going to be even more challenging. You're going to have meeting planners, decision makers deciding, hey, we've made it through the last 6 months without having a speaker at an event. Why do we need to do that now? We can save the money. We can use it someplace else. So I think it's going to be a challenge in the beginning. And then what's going to happen, in my perspective, is after people realize that being meeting virtually doesn't fulfill the need to connect on a human basis, in being present basis, the demand for speakers will go up, but it also will go up for those who can create engagement with their audience. So I see a kind of shift. I see a, I hate to say, a thinning of the herd, I see a lot of speakers reevaluating if they have the stomach to handle this chaotic time, because if you don't, then right now you're flipping out going, what am I going to do? And those speakers who've been around for a long time have realized that this is just another event in our industry. And so if they've set themselves up well, then they're going to survive it. So that's how I see it. I hope people learn from it and look at their business model and go, wait a second, getting on a plane to giving a speech can't be the only way I create an income in this industry. So that's how I view it.
You mentor young speakers, don't you?
Yes and no. I am pretty protective of my time. And so what I found is that, you know, usually after you give a great speech, somebody comes up and says, I want to do that. And that's because they're caught up in the moment. And that's kind of nice. And it's great for your ego. But the reality is, if you really want to do this, it's going to take a lot of work. And so I've probably mentored maybe one to three. Actually, I should not more than three, just because I don't have the time. It's not something I'm passionate about. I will gladly give insight, answer questions, point them in the right direction. But my job is not to help grow your business. It's to help point you in the direction where you can grow your own business and do it for yourself, because ultimately I want you to stand on your own two feet. And if you're using me as your mentor and coming to me for everything, then you're not really growing, and I'm not doing you
any favors.
Yeah, I'm really not. I think one of the things I would tell anybody right now is, in this time of turmoil and chaos, this is a great time to find out how strong you are, but also some great lessons are being provided for you to learn. And you can either learn them now or learn them the next time. So for any young, and not even young, because it's not about age anymore, any person who wants to be a speaker, this is a great time to learn what to do, what not to do, what you need to do, and what's important to you.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they were saying that they felt that all the opportunities were open now, that everything was on the table because everyone mm-hmm. was reexamining everything. What do you think?
Sure. I think that's true. And usually that happens after a big event like the recession, you know, people reevaluating what's important, what's valuable to them. After 9/11, they started reevaluating, I did too, like everybody else, started reevaluating who were the people you wanted to spend time with, not spend time with, what did you want to do? So I think this is a great opportunity to do that. But I also would tell you, you can do that any day. You don't have to wait for an event of tragedy. That should be something you should be doing on an ongoing basis. And all this did was give us the kick in the pants to do it. So depending on how proactive you are, then some people will say, hey, this is just an opportunity to readjust my business. And for others, they're going, oh my gosh, I've got to throw out everything and start over. And so that's not the way I think you want to create a business, where you're starting over every time there's an incident, experience, or a hiccup in the industry. You want to be able to say, I'm doing this on an ongoing basis. So this is just something I need to spend some time.
I'm going to be here regardless.
Based on. Exactly. Like I said, I've been around 39 years. I've seen a whole lot. And what I know is, speakers who were in the business 20 years aren't here anymore. Why? Because they couldn't adjust, they didn't prepare, or they hit the lottery, or they decided to go find something else. Because as much as people like being on stage, there's a time when you want to be home. So I think this gives people a chance to reevaluate what's really important to them. And that's great if you can do it on your terms and not letting that industry say, look, you're out of the business, versus you say, I'm going to change my business and go do something else. So that's the way that's my take on it. But like I said, that's my take.
That works. Let's talk a little bit about the National Speakers Association and the value they provide to new speakers. For the record, the National Speakers Association is a trade association for professional speakers. How long have you been a member of the National Speakers Association?
I just got my 30-year pin this past summer. So I've been around a long time, and it's a great association. And like any association that wants to be relevant, it is making some changes to its business model, to the value it offers to its members. But I would encourage anybody who wants to be a paid professional speaker And that means not just a keynoter or workshop presenter or seminar leader or an online marketer or an information selling information in event settings. I would encourage you to join one because you'll find other people who understand your lingo and what it means to travel and to speak and not having the mic right and the room not set up. So you're in a place where people understand what you do for a living. It's also a great group of people who are willing to share what works for them and what doesn't work without regard to you going off and stealing it, borrowing it. So, you know, it's one of the things that Cabot Robert, the founder, one of his mantras is if we build a bigger pie, there's enough for everybody. And that's what you have to have as a mindset if you're going to become a member is how do I help grow this pie so everybody can benefit? So I would tell anybody who's going to be a speaker and they want to get paid for it, it's the place you've got to be. It's an investment that is so inexpensive, but pays great dividends. I've been around for 30 years, so I'm biased about it, but I would tell you it helped save a couple of years of learning from me. And I was speaking probably about 11 years. I shouldn't say that. I was speaking probably about 5 years, I believe, before I joined. And the 5 years could have been a lot easier if I had been a member sooner.
What I think about them is that I've never met a more entrepreneurial group of people. I mean,
right.
And so could you elaborate on that?
Sure. I will tell you that a majority of the members are solopreneurs or they have one or two staff people. So they understand the value of hard work and depending on themselves. They also understand being creative, paying attention to what the market is looking for, adapting. And they're willing to say, look, I depend on me. I'm voting on my efforts and my abilities to make a living. And a lot of them, I will tell you, they've been in the corporate world and got fed up or they've got downsized or whatever reason, they decide to take their passion and go make an income from it. And so they're committed to their own self-success, but they're also committed to helping other people who are in their audience, and they're willing to share, and they realize that they can't make it by themselves, even though they may be an entrepreneur with one or two staff. They realize helping somebody else helps them in the long run, and so it's a great group of people who are looking to make a difference in the world, but also take their passion and make money from it.
On this podcast, we talk a lot about online communities and online community development. Actually, before I go there, I'd like to talk about what it was like to be the first African-American certified speaking professional.
Well, and for those of you who may not know, certified speaking professional is a designation within NSA that says that you've acquired some status by being in business for X amount of years, generating X amount of income and having clients rebook you and you've done a good job, and it takes a lot of work to get there. So being the first one, I will tell you, I didn't know I was the first one when it happened. So I didn't really get to celebrate the moment besides just reaching that level in NSA. What I come to find out later was I was. And so when I think about it, it's impressive to me, to others, maybe not so much because they don't understand some of the barriers, some of the challenges that as a person of color you had to get past back then. What I will tell you is it's something I don't mind sharing with other speakers of color when they're getting depressed or talking about leaving the industry. I tell them, wait a second, let me tell you what it used to be like. There's so much opportunity now, and so don't give up because the barriers are not what they used to be before. So I'm glad I have that designation. I wasn't trying to be the first one. I was trying to stay in business and be the best person I could be and the best speaker I could be for my clients. And so there are moments when someone mentions it to me and I smile, but I also know that regardless of your color, you got to be good. And so if it inspires others who are in my tribe, I'm all for that. But I want them to realize they have to be good. And it doesn't make a difference sometimes if you're good. So that's what I would tell you about that.
Okay, now we can get to the We talk a lot. Yeah, I just didn't want to let that moment pass because
I appreciate that.
We talk a lot about online communities and online community development because as subscription makers, which is kind of a play on the term rainmaker. So the idea that if you're a subscription, if you want recurring income, then you need to be a subscription maker and do the things to retain relationships. And basically what you need is two things. You need a well-architected platform and a active and supportive community.
True.
So you teach online courses, correct?
I have one that has been up for a while. In fact, right now we're going to redo it because I've got a platform that I've just signed up for and participated in that adds more of an experience instead of just here's the information, click and watch. So I'm doing that right now, and I've got a couple of live event programs that I'm turning into online courses, especially because of what's going on with the canceling of live events and postponing. So it's a perfect time for me to enhance my online presence. And it's amazing because it's one of those things I think that has just soared in value. I mean, I've had this online course up for 5 years, but have I spent a lot of time pushing it? No, because I like live events. And of course, this is a lesson learned right now. It's like, wait a second, you've had this, but you've never utilized it. And I think there are a lot of people, maybe your listeners, who know we all have lots of great tools, but we haven't utilized it. And probably the lesson I'm taking from it is I'm glad I have it, and now I'm going to use it. But I sure would hate to start right now building that presence. And so that's where I think a lot of people are. They're like, uh-oh, I need to now learn about online courses and building that subscription model, because there's not a more perfect time or need than right now for that to be one of your skill sets.
Is there anything I should have asked that I haven't asked?
I think the thing I would tell people is that right now is a perfect time for you to look at your subscription base and what is it they're looking for. And not just at information-wise, but that connection, because I think that's going to become more important. And I think it's proving itself right now, because people don't want to stay in their homes. They want to go out. They want to go to the restaurants. They want to be with people. So as we build our subscriptions and our online presence, how do you add that into your program? How do you make it more than just a place to go and get information? And I know we're talking about videos and polls, and everybody's different with what they're going to create online. But what I know for me is as I'm enhancing my presence and taking these two live events and creating this online option, I have to make sure that I transfer what takes place in that live event setting and put it or somehow incorporate it into the online version of it. And it won't be the same, but it has to be something where if somebody comes to my live event and I say, hey, I want you to sign up for this online program, they're going to get something that's similar to what they experienced, and vice versa. If I get somebody to sign up for that online program and offer a live event opportunity, when the smoke clears from all this stuff, I want them to feel like, oh, this is just an extension of what I've been experiencing online, except it's turned up a notch. And so that's what I would encourage anyone who's creating a subscription program, is to think about what kind of experience are you creating? Not just what kind of information are you providing, but what's the experience the person will take away from your program? And if you were to offer a live event, because I truly believe live events are going to come back and they're going to blow up because people want to be with each other. And that means you're going to have a more intense engagement process for your audience. So I think now's a great time to practice that on online and to just pay attention to what's going on. So that's about the only thing I think I want to make sure people get. And at least that's the way I'm approaching my presence, my two events, is how do I make sure I can incorporate what I'm teaching live and get it online and then have people go, man, that was great. So.
Do you have any new products besides the online event? Do you have any new products coming up?
Yeah, I've got really two. And I should say one's being really adapted. The newest one is called the High Profit Workshop Design. And that's the one I'm talking about. It's a live event, which right now is probably not as popular as it could have been 2 months ago. But what I do know is people are going to want to go to live events. And so the smart speaker or presenter is thinking about, how do I create an event that I put on? Because one of the things they've learned right now is that they are a commodity. Plenty of them have just lost a lot of income, a lot of bookings, because somebody said they weren't worth it, or they weren't valuable enough, or the event was canceled. And what I've learned over the years, and this is one of the reasons why I've been in business for 39 years, is, as you mentioned in the introduction, I've been on my own event, so I'm in charge of my destiny. So I know I can create income without having somebody to say, yes, Norm's the one we want to bring in. And so the new product I have is the High Profit Workshop Design. And it teaches a presenter or speaker, keynote, or how to create their own events. And that means it could be a retreat. It could be a strategic planning session for executives. You're learning about how to create your own event and all the different components that help make it a great experience. And if you want, can I, they can go to the website now if they want to look at it and see what we talk about. That's okay.
Sure.
You can go to, it's High Profit Workshop or workshop, I'm sorry, highprofitworkshops.com. And you can look at it and see what we're all about. The other program is one that's been in existence, and that's the Audience Interaction Mastery.com. That's a program that we've had for a couple of years that I've done as a live event and taken online, or it's being adapted to be online now. But those are the two ones that I'm working on now. And as much as everyone's focusing on virtual Zoom programs right now, what I would encourage your listeners to think about is Zoom or any other platform like this, that's a delivery system. That's not the content. So one of the things I want you to keep in mind is it's the content that people are going to be interested in. The process for getting your content is important, but don't get hung up trying to become a Zoom master now or other platform master, because ultimately it's going to be a skill that you want to have, but it's also going to be something that won't, it may prevent you from focusing on the larger picture. So those two programs I mentioned, they're going online and they'll be online, but the most important thing that's valuable to the customer is the content. So I would just tell people that, think about the content, not necessarily the delivery system, as your primary focus for the next couple of months. So those are the things I'm working on now.
What's the best way of getting a hold of you, of following what you do?
Sure. You can email me if you really want to connect with me. And that's simple. It's norm@normhull.com. And what I will tell you is I don't have a website about Norm Hull because my business is by referral. So it's not one of the billions out there. It's actually people saying, he did a great job. Here's the guy you need to connect with. So the best way is to either find me on Facebook, and you can find me under Norm Hull. You can do it that way, or you can send me an email. What I will tell you is, as much as I would enjoy you following me, the question would be, why? Is it to copy me? Because if you do that, then you're really just not making the most of your talents. So if you want to be my friend, I think that's more important. So when you ask, how can they follow me? What I want to say is, you know, we spend too much time following other people, trying to copy them, when we should be focusing on ourselves. And if you're going to have some interaction with them, then create a relationship where they will give willingly to you and feel safe doing that. And that only happens when they know, like, and trust you. And so if you're going to follow somebody, spend time getting to know them, not observing them from a distance and saying, what can I take from them or copy? Because then that prevents you from being who you are and showcasing your talent. So as much as I want you all to know what's going on with me, it's not real important unless we're going to be friends and I can help you be the best you can be. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. So, you know, be my friend. We'll talk, I'll help you, but I want you to focus on, you know, having a type of business that will keep you in business for 39 years.
That works.
I hope so.
This is your host, Zachary Alexander. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Subscription Maker Podcast. Join us next time when we talk more about what it means to be a successful subscription maker.